Praise the Lord. It's good to have everyone here tonight. Go ahead and open up to 1 Timothy. It seems good to the Holy Ghost to continue the discussions from this morning about doing warfare by the prophecies. And as I've thought about everything that transpired this morning, he gave you a perfect example in the second service how you do it. I don't know whether it didn't dawn on me for a little while. But let's review a little bit. By the way, Mark mentioned this morning about some teaching that went forward from here in January of 2006. Now, the one by Tim Stemple is not available online that I can find yet, okay? But the ones that I did are at my website. They're just listed under the wrong year. I just found it out a while ago. I was getting this list and... So if you go to my website and go to the recent teachings, that website is www.garycarpenter.org. Go to media, go to recent teachings, and then up at the top you'll see 05 and 06. Click on that one, and these should be under 06, but they're listed over under 05. And it starts, there's really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them that I'm going to give you if you want to go back and get everything that came forward there. The first one is lesson number 33, and hopefully by tomorrow they'll be under 2006, okay? So I'm going to call my webmaster and hey. But it was done January 8th, 2006, and it's called Do Warfare by Prophecies. That same night did Do Warfare by Prophecies Part 2. And then on January 11th, we did one called Wisdom for Your Warfare, okay? And then January 15th, there's one called Warfare by Obedience, and it's still on the same subject. And then my favorite of the list is this one, January 22nd. What is obedience? My personal favorite. Anyway, I just recommend those to you. I want to let you know they're there. In a nutshell, what are we talking about? Doing warfare by the prophecies. Well, genuine prophecy... Genuine, when it's real from God. Whether you hear him for yourself, whether a prophet comes and speaks it to you, or whether it's ministered to you in a line, like through Pastor Dave or whoever's ministering, a genuine prophecy is no less the Word of God than the Word of God that we walk around with. Now, you got to be real careful with that. I'm going to give you some examples. And examples here tonight about that, because it's really hard to distinguish a false word of prophecy, especially if you have not been spending time on a regular basis praying in the Holy Ghost yourself and getting to know him, his voice, and his general plan for your life. Now, okay, let's do scripture here first, okay? Let's do 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 18. This is the one that was mentioned this morning. Now, when it says discharge, it means this is an instruction, but it's more than an instruction. It's an instruction like a command. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. Paul knows he's nearing the end of his life. These are the last two letters in the Bible, from what I'm told, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And he's trained up Timothy. Timothy has grew up under his ministry. He's traveled with Paul. He's been involved in the ministry. And now he's been given an assignment by Paul at Ephesus. He's writing this letter to him, and he's given him strong instruction. Okay? So he says, "This charge, this instruction, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Well, these prophecies, and apparently there was more than one, I would think, like Mark said this morning, I imagine some of them came through Paul. Some of them may have come things Timothy heard in his time of prayer that he probably checked with Paul. And then they may have come through some other ministers. I just don't know. But Paul is definitely saying that there's more than one. By these prophecies, which went before on thee, that were spoken on you. Now, by those prophecies, you need to war a good warfare. There is no such thing as warfare without resistance. I'm going to give you, there's two kinds of resistance. One is your flesh. Okay? This is where I get the classic statement, when you hear God, what? Normally, what he says to you, your first thought will be, I can't do that. And to me, that's my first thought, that it's probably a real prophecy. You know, he talks to me like I have money. He talks to me like I'm his son. He talks to me like I have anointing. And I'm going, don't you know who I am at all? But he's not looking at me the way I perceive myself or the way that you may perceive me. He perceives me as his born of his spirit, son, anointed by the Holy Ghost, child to go forth and do the same works. He sees all of that. And he talks to you like that's who you are. Okay? Well, by these prophecies, make a good warfare. Now, Tim, when he taught on the blueprint, he was referring to a specific prophecy that came forward here, I believe, on September 11th, 2005. And the essence of it was this. God has been relaying these foundations, and what he means by that is what we call the message. It's all of those series that are out there by Dave. Tongues for the Believer, Satan's War Machine, on and on and on. We could go all of those that are already out there. Now, for years, they were retaught. What was happening during that time, the message was coming to maturity. Can you get that? Nothing starts off full grown. Dave's understanding has blossomed over all these years. Hopefully we're all growing and getting. But by this prophecy, the Lord was saying they had come to full harvest. Those messages there, their full maturity, they are the foundation. Not going to relay those again in the same. It's not that we'll never teach on them, but we're not going to cycle back through them again and again and again every year like before. Okay? And then he went on to say, now is the time to come. Now is the time to start building on that foundation a superstructure and start bringing up, can I say, the mind of Christ? Can I say it another way? Your ministry? Can I say it another way? Your purpose up out of the ground. We've got the foundation. Now we're building the edifice so the whole world can begin to see his plan for you. Well, that's as you start doing the message, see. And that's why those parts in obedience now. Now, I'm thinking back to the days as I grew up in a denominational church, there was no such thing as prophecy. Prophecy to them died with the apostles, you know. They love God. They'll give their whole life to God. Some of them have been martyrs on the mission field, you know. God will honor that walk. He will. He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. Their idea of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel is pick where you're going to go. Now, I'm not saying they won't pray about it, but whatever their mind settles on, that's what they're going to do. And God will go with them and anoint them all he can and bless them all he can. But that is just not the same as what we find in the book of Acts. And we're not going to go there tonight. I've taught on it too many times. But Acts 16, where Paul and Silas had finished their assignment, didn't know what to do next. And they thought about going, they were going to pick Bithynia. Or they were going to pick Asia. And if they would have gone that way, God would have gone with them and done all that he could. But they were able to hear from the Holy Ghost. Prophecy can come by vision. The idea of prophecy is to get his mind to you. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians 14 it says tongues with interpretation is equal to prophecy? Why? Because it delivers the mind of Christ. It delivers his right now instruction to you. So Paul and Silas, they didn't have to guess. At first they were wondering, well, maybe he wants us to go to Ephesus, and it says the Holy Ghost forbade it. Well, maybe we should go to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit suffered them not. Then by a vision, they received a sure word of prophecy. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And they knew then what to do. Well, how do you do your warfare then? Oh, they didn't run into any resistance at all over there, you know. If y'all read that, I mean, all they did was cast a devil out and got a couple of families saved, and they wound up in prison. They didn't, you know, steal anything or commit a burglary or do anything wrong like that. But yeah, there's resistance. You got to do your warfare by the prophecies, you know. You got to do what he says. So by these prophecies, make a good warfare. Now, hold your place. We're coming back to Timothy. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 just for a minute. This verse is normally quoted out of context. Verse 19, they usually just start in 19, so you don't know what's really being talked about. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture..." Now he's talking about the Logos, the written word of God. "No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Well, if you just take that part right there, you'd almost say, you know, it goes back to my denominational upbringing. Well, now see there, this word of God right here is a more sure word of prophecy, and you better be, you know, you better just let all those other kind of prophecies go. But let's leave it in the context. Let's back up a few verses and see what he was talking about. We'll go back to verse 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now he's talking about the transfiguration. Remember when he and two others, I think, were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus' raiment, it says, he turned white, and they saw him in his glory, and it says his raiment was whiter than any fuller could make it, and they actually heard God speak, heard the voice of God. They were, he says, "I was an eye." So let me ask you, was that a true prophecy? He's not belittling prophecy here. He's not belittling prophecy. He's saying, "I was there. I was an eyewitness." Now, I know you weren't there, and you may think I'm lying, but I'm telling you, I was there. I heard God for myself. I saw it with my own eyes. But what he's saying is, even as, I mean, you could crucify Peter upside down three times on Sunday, and he would never deny that prophecy was true. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is, look, even though I was an eyewitness, I'm telling you, this word of God is even a more sure witness. And everything in it will line up with the word of God. And if it doesn't, in other words, judge your prophecy by what you find in this book. You got that? And it's sometimes really hard. Go back to, yes, sir. Okay, right there. All right. I didn't know how he was going to work this all together. I want to give you some practical things about doing your warfare. See, first of all, yes, sir. Well, he doesn't let me prepare much ahead of time, so I have to listen, okay? You're going to get the interpretation in the teaching. So will I. He just wants to do it like this. Look, while we're talking about the sure word of prophecy, the word of God, you know there's words in here. I don't care what your symptoms are. Is there not word in this book, by his stripes, you were healed? It was in my grandmother's Bible. It was in my great-grandmother's Bible. It's been on their coffee tables for 100 years. It's in probably most homes in Tulsa, I would think, around America. That word, that all-powerful, true word from God is there. Let's go in, before I even talk about healing, let's back up one about salvation. The word of salvation is there, is it not? If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he's your Lord, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, all of those verses are there. They are a sure word of prophecy. But I like how Mark said it this morning. Will it work to go, okay, I read it. I'm laying it on my coffee table. I'm laying it here on the shelf. God, you can save me anytime you're ready. Will that work? If it's really the will of God and if it's really the word of God, won't he just make it happen? But it's the sure word of prophecy. It's absolutely the word of God. You know, you can have Michael Muccio. We were having lunch today after the service. We were talking, remembering back to those thrilling days of yesteryear, you know, when you'd charge it with a water pistol and get your eyebrows singed off, you know. Praise God, we were talking about those early days. But I remember there was a lot of people went to those Bible studies. They heard exactly the same things, exactly the same word that Sue and I heard. Sue and I, it took us a while, but Sue, eventually we received this sure word of prophecy. We received it. We acted on it. We confessed before the Lord. We prayed. We asked him to save us, come into my heart and save us. We acted and we believed. And if you know my testimony, I didn't get no feelings. I don't know about Sue. I let her give her testimony, but I didn't get, and the devil was telling me it didn't work for you. And I had to fight for 3 cotton picking days holding my ground. Thank God Michael had taught me what faith is, that faith believes what God says no matter how you feel. I had to fight 3 days just to keep my own salvation. Now that's an example of doing warfare by the sure word of prophecy. But you know, I remember in those Bible studies, other people came. And they would listen. They hear the same word of prophecy. You can be saved and this is how. And it's just as much a true word for them. And they left and didn't get saved. Now I hope they got saved later. You know. But they sure didn't right then. Well, what's the difference? It's the same word of God. But by this sure word of prophecy, you have to make your warfare. Even if it's on salvation. What about healing? Same thing. You have to believe it. You have to start putting it in your mouth. By these prophecies, make thou a good warfare. It begins with the sure word of prophecy, the word to all of us, the word of God. You can be saved. How do you know? We have a sure word of prophecy. You can be healed. How do you know? We have a sure word of prophecy. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, all my relatives. How do you know? They won't be watching anyway. How do you know? I have a sure word of prophecy. See, but first off, it doesn't do you any good if you don't know about it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Either you have to read it, somebody has to come preach it, somehow you have to find out. But then once you've heard it, the responsibility passes from him to you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to grab any old sinner by the nape of the neck, drag them down the aisle, throw them up on the altar, you know, make their mouth move and say, Jesus save me. He's not going to do that. He's done his part. He's given us a sure. So you can see how, even when it comes to every promise of God, you have to act on it. You have to do a warfare yourself. Now let's move on to the Rhema words. Let's say it. This is the Logos. This is to everybody. Okay? But then there's the Rhema word of God. And don't argue with me about that. All I'm saying is there's a specific word for you. Let's not get into definitions, okay? You know and I know God talks to you. Well, yes, sir. I told you I was going to give you an example. Several. Yeah. I'm trying to tell this in a way that doesn't identify the minister because I have great respect for this minister. Minister maybe loves God more than me, okay? Yet the incident, all I have to pull from is my own experience. This was quite a few years ago, more than 10, quite a few years ago. And I don't know how else to do it. A minister was ministering. It wasn't Dave. It wasn't any of our ministers here. And this person did not know me from Adam, had never seen me before. This minister came to me and Now, I had already been praying. We had been doing the message for a long time. I already had an inkling. I didn't know for sure, but I knew that my gifting had to do with teaching. I knew it had to do with that, okay? But nobody had yet, you know, we weren't teaching here or anything at that point. So this person comes and just pulled us. We were just sitting some, you know, over there where we, in that area where we normally sit. That was before we had our, do y'all know why we sit there? It's not because Dave says, when I need you, I want to know where to find you. We sit there because that's what I'm a man under obedience. And he told me to sit there. Bless God, that's where I'm sitting. That's my pastor, and he told me to sit there. So at that time, we weren't there. We were somewhere else. But this person comes over and calls us out and gives us a genuine word of prophecy. Prophecy went something like this. I said, I don't know you, but he says, do you teach? He says, I see a blackboard, and I see you taking chalk and writing these lessons on that blackboard, and I mean, it's really true, and it's the Word of God, and it's right revelation, and I said, you're erasing that one, and there's a cloud of dust, and you're writing another one, and then the relation, and writing another one, you know, and I'm going, I've heard some of this before. In other words, but then this minister says, oh, I said, I see a big hand. I see a big hand coming soon to push you out. And you're going to start doing some traveling. He says, now here, watch this now. You need to get some things prepared. You need to start getting your affairs in order and getting material in order to teach. Because that big hand is coming quickly to push you out and start ministering. Well, that was an absolute word of prophecy. And everything in it came to pass. But now our part, up until then, I had just been writing notes and stuff for myself pretty much, you know. Well, then I started assembling things in case we started traveling. I had some materials. We also had to rearrange, you know, if you have pets and other things, you have to make certain arrangements. And so we began to make it possible where we could travel, okay? In other words, we had an obedience part to it. So that was would y'all say that was a sure word? That was a genuine prophecy from the Lord, sure enough. We didn't do any, we were not instructed to start calling and asking. We never have done that ever, asking for to go preach. But sure enough, the phone started ringing. Well, by cause of that prophecy, I knew to accept it. Okay? To accept them when they came. All right, that's enough. Y'all understand. In that same meeting, by that same minister. Now, you ready? And I love this person. I respect this person. Don't ask me afterwards. I'm not going to tell you who it is. And they're still in the ministry day and doing a great work for God. And I highly respect them. I send them money whenever, time to time. Hey, have a little mercy. You might be the one miss it sometime. I might be the one miss it sometime. Okay? Anyway, then in the same meeting, about the same person, the same minister felt they heard something from God and asked, I need three churches, three pastors to raise their hand. Who is willing to, there was a certain amount of money, give so much money because I'm going to send Gary and Sue on vacation to Atlantis. Do y'all know what Atlantis is? It's a casino in the Caribbean. It's a casino in the Caribbean. Now they also, there's beaches and it's not all, that's not all only thing to do there. But the primary thing that it is a casino. And Dave had, I was horrified to be honest with you. I was going, what? What? The minister kept on. Sure enough, after a while, three different hands went up, three different pastors of three different churches, and it was several thousand dollars each that they were committing. Dave had taught me the Holy Ghost never embarrasses anybody. He taught me not to stand up and do anything to embarrass anybody, and I didn't. But after that, the next day, I got on the phone. I got a hold of all three of those ministers. And I just told them, I said, you can keep your money, that is not happening. There's not any way that I'm going to take money that some little grandma sent in for the preaching of the gospel and take money out of the coffers of that church to go spend it at no casino in the Bahamas. Now, if you think I'm going to do that, you do not know me at all. In the same service. And the thing of it is, that person, that minister's heart, is they didn't try and do anything wrong. But I'm giving you that. You better spend time praying in the Holy Ghost yourself. You need to learn His voice. You need to hear from Him on a regular, consistent basis. Do you know how many prophecies I have had? And if I start traveling again, I know I'll get them again. If I go to churches where they don't know me. Because it happens almost every time that I go, you know. They'll find out who I am and that I'm ministering here and I don't have a church of my own. And without fail, nearly always, there's a prophecy. Yeah. Oh, I see it. I see it. The Holy Ghost is showing me right now, Brother Gary. You're going to pastor a large church. I see I think there's 5,000 people in that church. I see all the people and I see the steeple. And I don't know what it says. Now, those of you that know me know that I've already heard from the Holy Ghost that I am not a pastor. He's never going to call me to pastor. Now, I might fill in for a pastor or something like that. You know, when Dave's gone, I can teach or help, you know. But I've already know that. So I already know the day's never coming when I'm going to pastor an old 5,000 member church, you know. So what do you do? Do you go, brother, you missed it big time. I'm telling your whole congregation here you're a false prophet. Judge not that you be not judged. That person is trying to hear God, trying to obey God. They're not trying to do anything wrong, hopefully. Some of them are. Now, there are snakes in the grass. Okay? They'll tell you just what you want to hear for, you know, to manipulate. But now, I'll hear those again. I'm always real nice to them. I say, well, praise God. Thank you. Keep praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know? Now, the thing of it is, what we're warning against, first off, any real word from God is not going to violate this word of God. You got that? Yes, sir. And even, okay, you're the adult group. I mean, you know, we're not teaching in kindergarten here. Peter, would you say that was a true word from God that he received on the housetop, on the rooftop? Peter, even though this was years after the resurrection, he was still of the mindset at that point. He thought only the Jews could be saved. He was still holding to the dietary laws of the Old Testament. He would not eat anything that had been declared unclean under the Old Testament. And along with that, that was really a type and shadow for them that the Gentiles were unclean. Plus, they had commandment not to eat with these unclean Gentiles and not even to go underneath their roof. Don't even go into their house. Well, he didn't know yet. He didn't understand. He didn't comprehend yet that the gospel through the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus didn't die just for Abraham. He didn't die in the place of Abraham alone. He died in the place of Adam. And that the gospel was now open. Salvation was now open to the whole human race, Jews and Gentiles alike. Well, he didn't know that. Well, God, the Holy Ghost, had to come to him in a vision. Show him that sheet let down three times. And in it was all the unclean things from the law, you know, creepy, crawly, bottom feeder things. Stuff they weren't supposed to eat. And he knew it was unclean stuff. And three times the Holy Ghost said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he says, "Not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever gone into my mouth." Even though Peter was there the day that Jesus had made the statement, he said, "Not that which goes into a man defiles a man, but that which comes out of the man is what defiles the man." And through that statement, he had declared all foods clean. Paul taught on it later. We've taught on it many times. Every creature of God is to be received with thanksgiving and not refused, you know. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But Peter didn't know that. So in Peter's mind, he's got this vision that to him sort of goes against this sure word of prophecy. Well, listen, that's not just stopped. That didn't just happen with Peter. That's still going on today. That's why some churches will tell you, you know, if you meet on Sunday instead of on Saturday, you're not keeping the Sabbaths and you're all going to hell. Thank you very much. But they don't understand yet that Jesus is our Sabbath. It doesn't matter if you meet on Tuesday or Thursday, what day? He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. What's the point? You need to let the Holy Ghost become your teacher. You can receive a true word from God, like Peter. That was a true word from God. What was God doing there? He was going to use Peter to open up the gospel to the Gentiles. You're going to like this. You ready? God was not just teaching Peter for teaching's sake. Let's think on that just for a minute. You know all that time you spend praying in the Holy Ghost and he's teaching you and showing you? Do you know he's got a purpose behind that? He is building that structure in you that one day you're going to go, you're going to push off from the mothership. where no man has gone before. No man or woman. Oh God, oh God. You've got to learn to hear his voice. See? All right? Yes, sir. What is obedience when it comes right down to it? I really recommend that last lesson if you have time to listen to it. What is obedience? Most Christians think they're obedient if they go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If they read their Bible. I mean, you're an exceptional Christian if you open up your Bible in between church services. And you shandai once in a while. And give a little money once in a while. I'm obeying God. Mm-hmm. When all the while there is so much work to be done, God's problem is just finding vessels through whom he can get that work done. Real obedience is hearing the Lord and then doing what he says to you. Nothing else is. Okay, I'm going to give the example again because I hear him giving it. There was this bride-to-be that money was no object. I mean, she was going to have the wedding of all weddings, you know. And she had a fiancé and the wedding date was set and they rented the best hall and money was no object. She hired the best chef. She hired the best flowers, everything, she knew just exactly what she wanted. And with the chef in particular, she wanted, and I'm just going to pick something. She wanted a certain kind of fish prepared a certain way, and the certain vegetables, and the cake, and everything. She knew exactly what she wanted. She told the chef what she wanted, and she wanted a certain kind of cake, you know, and they agreed to it. And contracts were signed and everything. Then the great wedding day came and oh, it was beautiful and everything was going just fine until the reception. And they began to bring the food out and she had given those instructions for this certain kind of fish prepared a certain way. But when they came out, they served roast beef and potatoes and carrots. Now, it was excellent. It was delicious. Everybody that ate that meal said, This is some of the best food I ever ate in my life. Well, everyone left happy except her. So afterwards, when she's paying everybody, she comes to the chef. And he says, "Weren't you pleased with my labor? I worked so hard to get I purchased the very best roast beef. I cooked it in this special way so it would just melt in your mouth. And we had the carrots and everything imported and we did the seasoning. We worked so hard to make it the very best we could do. Weren't you pleased with that meal?" And she said, "Well, I'm not saying it was a bad meal. I just wonder, why didn't you do what I asked you to do?" On that day, every one of us is going to stand before him. Give an accounting of our life. Here's that stewardship thing, see? And it's not that And I think a big part of the church, and I think me before coming here, I would have done whatever I would have done. I probably would have pastored a church, to be honest with you. That's all I really knew from my upbringing. Everything else had passed away except pastor and missionary. Sunday school teacher. They had Sunday school teacher. So I probably would have wound up pastoring a church somewhere out on the permissive will of God, because that's all I really knew if I hadn't come here. And I'd have got there that day. I'd have said, don't you appreciate the work that I put into the pastorate? And look how hard we worked to save souls, and we worked the town, Jesus, and we did all of this and that. And I'm sure he would appreciate that. You know, it's good work. But boy, I don't want to hear those words. I said, well, were you pleased with what I did? Well, I'm not saying it was really bad or anything, Gary. But son, what I want to know is, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Well, then I would have had to say, because I didn't hear you say it. I didn't find in here Gary. Have you all looked for the book of Gary yet? I have searched this thing. I cannot find the book of Gary. Can't find it in there. But there is a book of Gary. It's in the mind of Christ. He has a plan for my life. There's a book of Sue. Your book is in the mind of Christ. He has a plan for you right at your age, you know. The devil always says you're too young, you're too old, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too rich, you're too poor, you're too something. And the truth of it is, he'll take you right smack where you are. You start letting the Holy Ghost pray that perfect will of God, he'll smooth get you right on his path. And you'll be walking out the book of... I'll be walking out the book of Gary. You'll be walking out your own book. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I want to close with this, because y'all, how many of you were here at the second service? Let me see. Nearly everybody? Okay, were you not here at the second service? Okay, I want to tell it that way, because none of them were there either. So, oh, some of them might have been, I don't know. This morning, we had a perfect example of how you do a warfare for a word of prophecy. To my surprise, in the course of the service, Dave comes over. Dave never got to teach. He was just following the Holy Ghost through it. And then he comes over to Sue and I. And he, long and short of it is, he says, I've been seeing this for 2 or 3 days. He said, it's time for you to receive a gift. And he means a gift of the Spirit from the Holy Ghost. He says, I've seen it for 2 or 3 days. He says, and Dave, there's not a word for this one. Most of you have seen Dave pray for people with back trouble. And he'll take their hands and he holds them up like this. And, you know, usually one hand is higher or lower than the other one. And he'll go, in the name of Jesus. Or he'll just say, Jesus, you know. And then the hand will move. And sometimes it's a double curvature. And then the other one goes above. And then you say, Jesus again. It straightens up. Well, I've seen hundreds of people healed that way over the years. And he says, from this day forward, that gift is in your ministry. Yeah. And I'm going, all right. I'll take any gift I can get. This is a gift you give, you know. Gift you give, but that's all right. It keeps on giving. But see, now watch this. I consider that a sure word of prophecy. I absolutely do. But now watch what the Holy Ghost did. Through Pastor Dave, and I haven't seen him do this before. He goes right over to somebody nearby. He says, who here has back trouble? Couple of people raised their hands. He says, step right up here. And he's standing right next to me. And I'm going, oh, no. What's happening here? See, he's going to see if I'm going to receive that word. See if I'm going to act on that word right now. Okay. So there's two people comes up. Dave did the first one. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm watching again. Sure enough, here. Heel splat. And they're okay. Okay. Then there's a guy there. Dave holds him up. Sure enough, there they go. You know, it's like, wasn't it about that much, you guys? You know, it's a big difference. He says, Gary. He says, you want it? So I come up there and as bold as I could, I said, in the name. Now I'm all full of faith on the outside, on the inside. I'll tell you exactly what I was going. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Y'all need to know what faith is. That's what obedience is. Oh God, oh God, oh God, let this work. In the name. Now, I've had that happen before. It's not like I've never done that. I've had that happen. I've had the deal where you put them in the chair and the legs move. But it's never been a resident thing. It would come, it would go, it would just be here. But he's talking about a resident anointing. So I thought, okay, it's over. I passed. Okay, hallelujah. So then he comes over here and he gets Steve. Steve Carpenter. Brings him right up here. Now, Steve is somebody that I know. I didn't know that guy. Steve and I know each other. This is my familiar friend. This is someone we've eaten bread together and talked together, and he knows me. I'm going, okay. Got back trouble? Yes. Hold Steve's hands up, something like this. I'm hoping not to exaggerate, something like that. So here we go again, you know. So I get a hold, and I'm just barely, I mean, I do not want to do any manipulation or anything. I'm just barely touching his wrist, you know. And I'm watching too. On the inside, oh God, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And this time, it was like something like this. This time it went zzz, and then it went zzz. And I went, I remembered. I looked at Dave. Is that that double curvature thing? He says, say the name again. In the name. Zoom. Hallelujah. He had me act on it right then. See? Now that's how you do it. That was a sure word of prophecy. I'm telling you now by faith. I'm still old Godding on the inside, but I'm telling you it by faith. I'll have that in my ministry all the days of my life. Amen. Hundreds and thousands of people are going to get healed from back pain through that. I declare it in Jesus' name. Okay? That's warfare, doing warfare. Now, that's a prophecy. Timothy had received prophecies. Okay, I'm going to close with this. We're not going to go into it anymore. Go back to 1 Timothy just for a minute. I have never really heard it taught, the charge that Timothy had. No wonder he had to take a little wine for his stomach. No wonder. I mean, he was relatively young by ministry standards. We're told that Paul says, don't let them despise your youth. Okay? Do you know what his real assignment was at Ephesus? I know he eventually became the pastor there. That's what history tells us anyway. But from Scripture, this is why Paul left him there. Timothy wanted to travel on with Paul. Let's start in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. I'll close with this. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, plain English, I asked you to stay. I didn't want you to go with me. You wanted to go, but I asked you to stay at Ephesus. When I went to Macedonia, and here's why I asked you to stay, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You know what Timothy's job was? After Paul left, somebody gets up and starts teaching doctrine. Timothy's job, you're not going to teach that anymore. That is false doctrine. Now, how to do it is all through this book, which we're not going to get into tonight. Suddenly I'm going, oh my God. He gives you an example right down here. See, we read verse 18. Let's read the rest of it. You'll understand and you get some insight into what kind of prophecies came on Timothy. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, this instruction with a commandment. I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You can read what they were teaching in another place. They were teaching that the resurrection had already come. False doctrine. And Paul said, not only did I tell them it was false, I delivered them unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. in the same breath, back up. We read verse 3. Let's continue. I want to read it again and go two more verses, and then we're done. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Timothy, don't teach any other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is love. The doctrine, the end of the commandment, the end, the totality, it culminates in love. You think it was not love for him to turn Hymenaeus and Alexander over to Satan? It was love. Now, they might go through some hell here, but their spirit's going to be saved in the day of the Lord. For all eternity, they'll be grateful. That the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, they have turned aside unto vain jangling, so forth and so forth. We may get into it later on. Timothy had his was not a delicate instruction. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being so perverted in our generation. It is being so watered down, you can't tell it from anything. Yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed. Has not changed. God may call you. I wouldn't teach this to babies, because pretty soon they're all going to be going around telling each other they got false doctrine. Okay? You guys hopefully are mature enough not to do that. Yeah, I heard he charged Timothy, and now I heard Gary charge me. I did not. Did not either. But there are those with that charge in the body. Dave is one of them, if you don't know. Dave, we're talking today. Does Dave ever correct you? Or let me put it to you like this. Yes. He corrects the whole church at times. You just don't know what happened. He does it with such love. I've actually had it happen to me. Just sitting in a service, I've had it where I got corrected, and it was 3 days later. I went, hey. Because he had a joke in there, and he had humor in there, and, you know, but boy, it was pure. And I meditated. I kept thinking about it, and sure enough, I went, hey, I've been wrong. I got to change, you know, and I've changed more than probably any of you. I mean, I have changed so much, and I'm still teachable. I want to know the truth, and where I'm off, I want to know. See? So, summing it up. God, I'm running over you guys. He's not going to let me end. Okay. This is the most recent prophecy I have personally received from the Lord. I am doing a warfare myself. This came one at the day of the conference, the one we just had in October, where Tim had everybody get quiet and listen and write down what you hear. I don't always hear in those situations, but I did that time. And this is to me, and I think it's to anybody, but I know for sure it's to me. And he said, "For I have not left you without the means to take your journey into the land of my promises. Behold, my word is with you. My spirit is with you. My hand is extended toward you. Come. Come." I can just see him. Come. Now, he's got a place he wants me to go. Follow me into the treasure room of my heart. The treasure room of his heart. What's in there is going to be what he treasures. That's people. He's inviting me to the love of God. He's inviting me into that room where his love is. But follow me. He says, I got to follow him into the treasure room of my heart, what he said. Then he says, all that you desire awaits you there. I want to follow him into the treasure room of his heart, but all that I desire awaits me there. You are mine, says the Lord. We say, well, how do you make a good warfare over that? Well, I read it. I say, Lord, with all that I know how, I'm following you. You told me you didn't leave me without the tool. So I know your word. I've got to stay in your word. And you said, your word is with me and your spirit is with me. I'm going to keep meditating your word, praying in the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I'm following you. Like Peter stepped out of the boat, I'm stepping out, I'm following you. Bring me into the fullness of that treasure room. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm O-Godding again. I'm going to get in there too. I'm going to get in there. Hallelujah. I hope that was some practical help. Okay? Judge every word that you receive. Judge it all by the word of God. If you can't line it up with the word, now get with people, because sometimes you're just ignorant. I'm telling that about myself too. Sometimes you're just ignorant. Peter was ignorant of the truth. He thought he knew the scriptures concerning that, and he didn't understand the change that had come. God, the Holy Ghost, had to straighten him out. And once he saw the truth, though, I'll tell you this, did Peter repent? Went right into the Gentiles' house, preached the word of God, and the first Gentiles were born again. Hallelujah. Praise God.